leads through the middle of town. His very presence causes the flowers to wilt and milk to sour. None sleeps when he makes his midnight ride, and all await the scream when he claims his due. There will be no scream tonight, Nerio stated. His hand patted the quiver of crystal-tipped maces at his side. Unless the Shrouded King finds his voice when he does not find his victim. Arnold nodded and pointed his staff at Varnhulf and the elders. I can see the doubt you feel. I can smell the fear that hammers inside your hearts. You have lived in horror of this monster for too long. You have almost convinced yourselves that he is invincible, that there is nothing which can be done except to appease him. His voice dropped to a low whisper of wizardry, drawing magic to him. He let the power flow down to the end of the staff. A nimbus of lightning crackled and flashed about the head of the staff in a display of arcane power. The elders backed away, their eyes wide with awe, their tongues muttering in fright. This time, the monster will not be appeased, Arnhult told them. This time, he will be challenged. This time, he will be vanquished. He laid his huge armored hand on Muller's shoulder. By the might and glory of Sigmar, God King, this darkness will be banished from Wormdit.
But the Shrouded King is...
Varnhulf held up his hands in a hopeless gesture.
When first he came upon us and made his demands, there were men who stood against him. They tried to kill him with swords and with spears and with arrows. Nothing could harm the Shrouded King. He is not a thing of flesh and bone as we are.
The Burgermeister closed his fingers into a fist and shook it in despair.
He is more ghost than anything else, as intangible as the steam from the geysers.
Muller smiled at Varnhulf.
Have faith, friends. Great Sigmar knows all, and would not send his warriors to us if they could not prevail against our enemy.
Arnhult held the crackling staff higher.
There is a dark magic which empowers your tormentor, but we too have magic. We have the magic of Sigmar's storm, the essence of sacred Azir to pit against the fell undead.
He let the power gradually ebb from his staff.
I have fought for Sigmar's justice in more battles than I can remember, and against enemies too horrible for you to imagine. Always, the power of Sigmar has sustained me, and never have I seen demon or spectre that could deny the God-King's might.
He nodded towards Muller.
Be guided by your priest. Have faith. I do not expect any of you to face the enemy. All I ask is for your faith and conviction. Sigmar will deliver Wormdit.
You will lay a trap for the Shrouded King?
Varnhulf asked.
When he comes to receive his tribute, then you will confront him?
Pentheus stepped forwards, sweeping the elders with a stern look. Of all the Stormcasts, the Sequitur Prime had the least forgiveness for the obscene bargain they had struck with the Shrouded King.
The Wraith will answer for its evil, he stated coldly. We do not want any of you near when we depose your undead king.
He tapped his golden breastplate.
We have the armor and weapons to confront this monster. We have the resolve and discipline to defy its evil.
He waved his hand towards the doorway.
Go and take your people from Wormdit. Stay away from your homes this night. When you return in the morning, you will be free.
Varnhulf kept his eyes downcast, but shook his head emphatically.
But the Shrouded King may expect a trap, he said. Always Pater Matthias has acted as a mediator between the town and the Wraith.
He looked up at Arnhult.
Pater Matthias is gone. No one can find him. He has left us.
In a time of crisis, men display their true quality, Pentheus scowled.
We will carry out the plan, with or without Matthias, Arnhult declared. The Wraith may be so certain of its power over you that even without Martius's welcome, the monster will not be suspicious.
Varnhulf was still uneasy.
If if the Shrouded King does suspect.
Suddenly, the Burgermeister looked up, excitement on his face.
If we took one of Matthias's cassocks...
The excitement faded as he looked up at the huge warriors.
No, the Shrouded King would never mistake one of you for Pater Matthias.
Then we will need one of your people to play the part,
Pentheus stated. Again, his uncompromising eyes moved across the elders.
Who among you will do it? Or are there no heroes left in Wormdit?
A long moment of shameful silence dominated the temple. It was broken at last by a quiet voice from beside Arnhult.
I will do it, Muller declared. I feel it is my duty, for I was the one who begged Sigmar to send you to us.
The Stormcasts looked at the blind priest in astonishment. Even Pentheus was impressed by the man's determination.
Are you not afraid? Arnhult asked.
Of course, my lord, Muller said. But I can control my fear.
He raised his hand to his sightless eyes.
Now I understand that this affliction is a blessing. Because I cannot see him, my fear will grow no worse when the Shrouded King comes. I can stand outside the shrine and wait for him, just as Pater Matthias did.
Arnhult was pensive. The risk to the blind priest would be great. Muller would be standing in the very path of the storm. Yet there was something in what he said about his blindness being an asset now rather than a hindrance. Anything that increased the chance of luring the Shrouded King into their trap had to be considered. Moreover, he thought about the terrible humiliation Muller would feel if his offer were rejected outright.
It will be dangerous, Arnhult advised Muller. Search your heart, and if you are certain this is the path Sigmar has called you to follow, then we, the Gilded Sphere of the Sacrosanct Chamber, will accept your help.
He gazed over the elders and saw that somehow their dejection was even more pronounced than before. Truly, these men had been humbled. Arnhult marveled at the wisdom of Sigmar. To be humbled in the presence of the Sacrosanct Stormcasts was something a man could rationalize to himself. To be humbled by the courage of a blind man, that was a lesson none of the elders would ever forget. The Shrine of Nagash was an imposing pagoda near the center of Wormdit. The morbid tower was not pressed upon too closely by its neighbors. Instead, a great expanse of open ground surrounded it, ground that was uncharacteristically barren by the standards of Gur. A few withered trees and the husks of yellowed bushes were the only evidence life had ever intruded upon this place. The dirt around the dead plants was parched and grey, as though some vampiric scourge had drawn all the vibrancy from it. The pagoda itself was equally barren, but in a different way to the neglect that afflicted the Temple of Sigmar. Here, the walls were in good repair, the wooden beams and doors fastidiously maintained. It was not the rot of abandonment that hung over the Shrine of Nagash, but rather an aura of total decay, a repulsion of life itself. The place made no pretensions about its macabre nature. Every doorway was framed by the fleshless grins of leering skulls. Skeletal gargoyles gripped the edges of the roof, condensation drooling from between their fangs. Around the walls were grim funerary niches, where placards bearing prayers to the dead were exhibited for all to see. Everything about the place was steeped in the darkest of magic, the heavy ether in which the realm of Shaiish itself was immersed. Arnhult could feel its essence the moment he approached the pagoda and walked across the desolate earth. It was like a clammy film pressing against his skin.
"Is something wrong, Knight Incantor?"
Orthon asked Arnhult. The very best of Pentheus's sequiturs, he had been tasked with being Arnhult's guardian when the trap was sprung. A powerful warrior, he was less attuned to the threads of magic they walked through than the Aether Mage.
"This is a vile place," Arnhult declared. "It has been abominably used."
He let a ripple of magic course through his staff and back through his body. The etheric wind dissipated the clammy sensation, but more than that, it lent a certain quality to the inimical energy, a quality that was at once unspeakably vile, yet strangely familiar to him.
Long before the first bricks were laid down, this site was blighted.
They built the shrine to Nagash here because Pater Matthias said it was sacred to the Lord of Death,
Muller told Arnold. The blind priest looked strange in the heavy black robes that now shrouded him. Varnhulf and the elders were too afraid of the shrouded king to fight, but they did lead Nerio's castigators to the shrine and bring back one of the cassocks to complete Muller's disguise. Arnold gripped the priest's shoulder.
In that much he told your people the truth. This place is saturated in dark magic.
The Night Encounter hesitated, strangely troubled by his own words. He stared at the pagoda, at the town outside the patch of barren earth. In his mind, he tried to imagine the place as it might have looked before Wyrmdit had been built.
Something happened here,
Arnold continued.
Something that drew the attention of Nagash to this place.
Muller nodded his head.
Death,
he said.
Only that would interest Nagash. Many small deaths, or one death of greater consequence. Perhaps Pater Matthias knew which, but if he did, he never said.
Arnhult let the spell he'd evoked fade. Gradually, the clammy sensation returned, and with it came a sense of frustration. He felt he knew the answer to this riddle. Yes, he felt it, but he did not know.
A last chance to turn back,
Arnhult reminded Muller. He stared up at the darkening sky. The day was fast fading. Soon the new moon would rise, and with its ascension, the shrouded king would come to claim his tribute.
I know, the priest said. It grows cold now, despite the dew from the geysers. That means the sun is gone, or nearly so.
Muller shrugged his shoulders.
I can be of use to you here. Let me stay. Let me show you the measure of my faith in Sigmar.
Arnhult grabbed the hood of the cassock and drew it over the top of Muller's head.
This will lend itself to your disguise. From a distance, even the wraith might mistake you for Matthias. When he draws near, then he will sense the light of your soul and know he has been tricked.
His grip tightened about the haft of his staff.
Orthan and I will be within the shrine, ready to strike before that can happen. I have three castigators on the upper floor of the pagoda. Nerio and the rest are in the buildings around the tower, along with Pentheus's sequiturs.
Sigmar willing, the enemy will not escape,
Muller said.
A grim laugh rose from Arnhult.
It is the duty of all Stormcast Eternals to be the instruments of Sigmar's will.
Arnhult peered through the slats to either side of the shrine's doorway. From his vantage point, he could see the disguised Muller standing out in the middle of the barren ground. His head was bowed, as though he were reciting prayers to Nagash, as Matthias would have, had he been waiting for the shrouded king. Past the priest and the blighted expanse, Arnhult watched the streets of Wyrmdit. Though its own light was dim, the new moon appeared magnified by the mist. A silvery glow spilled down onto the land, illuminating the town and the hill above it. The streets were a patchwork of shadows and emptiness. The buildings were dark, brooding bulks, their doors locked and their shutters fastened. From memory, Arnhult could have declared which of the structures harboured a hidden sequitur or castigator, where Nerio and Pentheus stood by, waiting for his signal. The crucial moment, giving the signal. Arnhult had taken that task onto himself. A flash of arcane lightning from his staff, and the Stormcast would spring into action, closing a circle of righteousness around the infernal shrouded king. Only when he was certain the fiend was in their trap, that escape was impossible, would he give that signal. Their mission in Gur depended upon it. So too did the lives, perhaps the very souls, of everyone in Wyrmdit. If the shrouded king got away, there was no telling the sort of vengeance he might wreak. Even as civilization began to spread across the war-ravaged mortal realms once more, so too did the malefic dominion of Nagash. The ghastly necroquake that sent its shockwaves from Shaiish had loosed legions of the unquiet dead upon the living. The Shrouded King was part of that terrible scourge, and even Arnholt could not say how much of its power might be at the Wraith's beck and call. Cheated of its tribute, the Spectre might dispense with its pretension of kingly rule and simply annihilate the entire town, each death swelling the numbers of Nagash's slaves. Such would not be. By Sigmar, Arnholt would not permit it. He had spoken truth to the elders of Wormdit. He had fought against the enemies of mankind many times, and in all their horrific forms. The Shrouded King was simply the latest of those enemies to cross him, another foe upon which to bring justice and judgment. Why then, he wondered, did he feel so strange? The longer he spent in Wormdit, in the old lands of Khaza, the more Arnholt felt a growing unease. His studies of the chronicles and history of the vanquished kingdom lent themselves to an eerie familiarity, or was it something more? What was this hinterland between feeling and knowing? A shadow fell across Arnholt's awareness, drawing his gaze to the hill above Wormdit. There, upon the summit, a lone rider had appeared. Manifested might have been the more fitting word, for the knight in Cantor swore the horseman had not been there an instant before, and there had not been time for his steed to reach the summit unobserved. Illuminated by the lunar glow that suffused the mist, the rider remained a thing of shadows. A dark caparison clothed his mount, rendering it a black smudge upon the hill. The figure astride its back was similarly arrayed, a nebulous blot that exhibited only the vaguest hints of shape within his voluminous robes. Only the head seemed to have substance, a bare skull that rose above the shrouded body.
"The enemy is here,"
Orthan stated, peering through the slats and following Arnholt's gaze.
"Look at the crown it wears."
Arnholt had already seen it. Indeed, his eyes could not leave the sight of that jeweled circlet. An unaccountable fury suddenly welled up within him, an emotion as fierce as it was unexplainable. This wasn't the righteous indignation of Sigmar's warriors towards the infernal foes of mankind. It was something deeper than that, more base and primal, more selfish.
"By my own hands will this atrocity be destroyed," Arnholt swore.
Orthan gazed at Arnholt, shocked by the passion in the knight in Cantor's voice.
"Of course," he said, "just as you command. The honor of vanquishing the Wraith belongs to you."
Arnholt stifled a bitter laugh at Orthan's choice of words. Honor? There would be no honor here. There was no honor in crushing vermin under heel. To find honor in battle, the enemy had to possess at least some semblance of worthiness, to be more than a thing of contempt. The knight in Cantor shook his head, stunned by the emotion that gripped him. It was unseemly, this arrogant loathing for which he could not account. By an effort of will, he fought to suppress the feeling.
"We do not fight for ourselves and our own glory," Arnholt said. "We fight to fulfill the duty Sigmar has entrusted to us."
His words were more a chastisement of himself than Orthan, an injunction against the wrath that had so suddenly filled him. The rider began to descend the hill. The ghostly horse trotted towards Wormdit at a confident and unhurried pace. There was a sneering disdain about its progress, bespeaking the mocking contempt with which the Shrouded King regarded the living men he had claimed as his subjects. The display evoked disgust in Arnholt. Orthan expressed his own revulsion.
"Arrogant villain, isn't he?"
the sequitur remarked.
"His arrogance serves us," Arnholt said. "It will lead the Wraith into our trap and see him destroyed before he is even aware of his peril."
Even as he spoke, Arnholt's attention remained riveted upon the crown the creature wore about its fleshless head. He recognized it from his studies as that which had been worn by the priest kings of Khaza before the hordes of chaos devastated their land. Together with the dragon seat throne, it was a part of the regalia that signified their dominion. To see that noble legacy debased by this grave filth was too much to bear. As Sigmar willed it, Arnholt would end this profanation.
"My lord,"
Orthan pointed up at the deserted streets through which the shrouded king rode. He drew Arnhult's attention away from the wraith's crown and to the lone figure who came creeping out from hiding. It was Pater Matthias, the priest of Nagash.
"I should have seized him, as Pentheus advised," Arnhult grumbled, as Matthias hurried through the streets. "I left him free because I thought his capture would upset the people of Wyrmdit and cause them to resent us. I should have anticipated the possibility of this betrayal and taken pains to prevent it, regardless of the consequences."
There could be no question of Matthias's purpose. The black-robed priest was outside the cordon of hidden stormcasts, beyond their reach, unless they stirred from their concealment and exposed their presence. He was set upon a course that would intercept the slow, imperious ride of the shrouded king.
"What is done is done," Arnhult hissed.
He shook his head.
"Sigmar, grant that my mercy has not undone our plans."
The shrouded king drew back upon the reins of his phantom steed as Matthias emerged from an alleyway and stood before him in the street. The priest genuflected towards the wraith in an exhibition of obscene deference.
"Sire,"
Matthias spoke, his thin voice loud in the brooding silence that hung over Wyrmdit.
"I am your loyal subject, a brother in the service of Nagash."
He stared up at the shrouded king.
"Attend my words, master, for I am your friend."
He waved his arm towards the pagoda.
"They are waiting for you. Sigmar's knights would deny you your tribute and have laid a trap for you. Like slinking jackals, they wait to pounce on you, sire. But I remain true to you. I bring you warning. Ride from Wyrmdit and escape their trap."
The shrouded king looked down upon Matthias, ghostly lights glowing in the pits of his skull. Seconds stretched into an eternity for Arnhult as he watched to see what the wraith would do. Would he believe Matthias or think the warning itself to be a ruse to trap him? The knight in Cantor prayed it would be the latter. Arnhult's prayers seemed to be answered. Answered in savage and brutal fashion. A hiss of contempt boiled off the shrouded king. The wraith's bony arm lashed out, and in its skeletal claw a smouldering sword appeared. Matthias had time to shriek once before the blade swept across him. As the sword passed through his flesh, a weird double image of the priest became visible. The solid, physical form of Matthias fell to the street, whole and unmarked. At the same time, a translucent reflection staggered where he had been standing, a welter of blood spurting from the half-severed neck. The ghostly shade stumbled as it clutched at its gashed throat, then evaporated in a burst of phantasmal sparks. The shrouded king urged his ethereal steed onwards, its spectral hooves trampling the physical carcass of the fallen priest. The wraith glared at the pagoda, and Arnhult could feel its malignant gaze sweep through him. An electrical shock shivered through his body, a reaction unlike anything he had ever experienced before. With half the town between them, with the walls of the shrine concealing him, Arnhult felt as though the spectre had just reached inside his armor and closed its skeletal fingers around the very core of his soul.
"He knows I am here,"
Arnhult told Orthan. And there was a quiver in his voice when he said it. Because there was something more to it than that. Something he could not express to the sequitur. Something he tried to deny even to himself.
"He knows me," Arnhult's mind raced.
The steed reared back, its hooves pawing the air. From the shrouded king there issued a ghastly howl. A single word, a word that cracked across Wyrmdit like the snarl of a lash.
"Arise!"
In response to the command, shadows surged up around the shrouded king. In a matter of heartbeats, there was a broiling mass of darkness flowing through the street around the wraith, a black cloud that billowed towards the shrine of Nagash. As the cloud spilled further and further away from the shrouded king, it began to break apart. Distinct shapes could be discerned, blobs of shadow that became wispy forms draped in dark robes and tattered shrouds. Fleshless faces grinned from beneath decayed hoods. Bony claws clutched rusty chains and gleaming scythes. embers of grisly gravelight flickered in the sockets of leering skulls. A matter of heartbeats, but in that time Arnholt realized that the trap had been turned against the Stormcasts. The Shrouded King had summoned his phantom vassals, conjuring a tide of wraiths to come crashing down upon the foes who dared to defy his dominion. There was just one chance, a desperate hope that Arnholt seized upon. Just as his own attention had been riveted upon the Shrouded King, if the fiend's own focus was concentrated upon a single point, perhaps the situation could be salvaged. Perhaps he could give Pentheus and Nerio a chance to salvage this disaster. He looked at the disguised Muller standing on the barren earth, shaking from the fury of the wraith's cry, but unaware of the infernal host rushing straight towards the pagoda. At the very least, Arnholt would not abandon the brave mortal to the undead legion.
"We will draw them to us," Arnholt declared. "If we can keep them fixated on us, then our brothers may yet surprise this fiend."
Orthanc's hands tightened around the haft of his Stormsmite great mace.
"Sigmar smiles upon the bold," he said.
He put action to words, swinging the weapon and obliterating the wooden wall. A hulking figure in golden armor, he pushed through the breached pagoda and strode out onto the open ground.
"Night-haunting wretches!"
his bellow rang out.
"Here stands Orthan of the Hammers of Sigmar. Here stands he who will send you back to your empty tombs."
Arnholt followed Orthan out onto the blighted ground. The undead had displayed no especial attention to the Sequitur's challenge, but the moment the night encounter appeared in the open, there was a pronounced change. The air itself seemed to crackle with hate. The ghoulish glow in the Shrouded King's skull took on a livid hue. The intensity of the creature's focus felt like a blade piercing Arnholt's breast.
"Volkard!"
the Shrouded King's snarl echoed above the silent tide of wraiths. The name, as it rang out, was filled with venom, spat into the air as though it were poison. To Arnholt, the effect was poisonous. He felt a searing shock burn through his veins. He would have sworn he had never encountered the name Volkard before. Yet, when he heard it uttered by the Shrouded King, it felt familiar. More than familiar. At some deep level, some depth of being beyond conscious awareness, he recognized it. Recognized it as belonging to him, as a part of him. Orthan cried out in alarm when he saw Arnholt stagger. He shifted his hold upon the great mace and reached out to steady the ether mage. Even as he did, the enemy came rushing towards them. No longer a silent wave of shadows, but a howling gale of undead fury, impelled by the rage that swirled within the spirit of their master.
"Loose!"
Nerio shouted down from the roof of the pagoda. The Castigator Prime and two of his brothers stood up, their great bows trained upon the wave of wraiths. Crystal-tipped maces shot down into the ghostly throng. Attuned to the necromantic forces that gave the Nighthaunt's shape, the flasks fitted to the maces exploded as soon as they connected with the ghostly creatures. The draconic breath trapped within burst forth in blazing balls of blinding light. The dark forms of the wraiths were seared by the holy energy, torn into wispy tatters that dissipated in the mist, their tortured souls banished from the realm of Gur. A dozen of the wraiths were vanquished by Nerio's volley, yet the destruction of their companions did nothing to slacken the charge of those that remained. The shadowy host spilled across the barren ground, rushing towards Arnholt and Orthan. Castigators in the surrounding buildings now sent their own shots into the undead legion, obliterating dozens more of the spectral creatures. Pentheus and his sequiturs emerged from concealment and ambushed the flanks of the spirit army, their mauls shattering the ghosts in brilliant flashes of Azirian light. Still, the horde continued to pour towards one fixed point, converging upon the pagoda and Arnholt. The night encounter had prayed he could focus the attention of the Nighthaunts, but now that prayer was being answered with a vengeance. Desperately, he tried to rouse himself from the shock that had stunned him, but it was like trying to swim against a raging river. His innermost being rebelled against the effort and refused to obey. Orthan turned and raised his great mace, ready to defend Arnholt to the last. But there was another who moved to defy the oncoming horde. Blind though he was, Friar Muller could sense the malign evil of the wraiths. He turned towards Orthan and gestured at Arnholt.
"Take his lordship somewhere safe until his affliction passes. I will delay these fiends for you."
Before Orthan could react, Muller was moving towards the undead. As he stepped into their path, a nimbus of divine light surrounded the friar. He raised his arms and cried out,
"Sigmar's will be done!"
The spectral horde faltered for an instant, repelled by the holy aura in its midst. But then, an inarticulate shriek of rage rose from the shrouded king, a command that would brook no denial. The army charged onwards and rolled across the friar in a black wave of death. The priest and the divine light around him were crushed under the phantoms, smothered in the clawing swirl of undead. The sight of Muller's self-sacrifice snapped Arnholt from the paralysis that held him. Orthan was already swinging his great mace to meet the foremost of the shadowy wraiths, when Arnholt raised his staff and drew upon the magic of Sigmar's storm. A gale of etheric force roared through the undead, crackling with arcane energies. The least of the wraiths were blasted apart by Arnholt's spell. Others were hurled back and forced to draw their scattered essence back into a concentrated shape. The cohesion of the horde was shattered. From a single unstoppable tide, the night haunts broke into a litter of disparate bands. Into this bedlam of disorder, Pentheus and his sequiturs surged forwards. Arnholt could see them, employing their soul shields to further divide the wraiths and push them into pockets where their stormstrike mauls would complete their dissolution. Orthan's great mace struck down the leering chain-wrapped spectres that came shrieking towards Arnholt. With every blow of the huge weapon, a wraith was obliterated, the cohesion of its shadowy form shattered in a spray of spectral ribbons. Continued shots from Nerio and his warriors kept the wraiths from bringing any great numbers to bear upon the sequitur. Arnholt employed his staff to aid Orthan in the defence. Crackling with magic, the Sigmarite weapon ravaged the undead horrors. A fiend with the fanged skull of a beast, brandishing a glaive, charged at the Ethermage, only to be struck by the electrified staff and boil away in a cloud of smoke. A dark ghost, draped in chains, was immolated by the arcane force Arnholt sent into it, a brief flash of spirit fire that quickly vanished.
"Falkard!"
The shrouded king's cry pierced the night, ringing out over the sounds of battle. Again, the name struck Arnholt. His awareness seemed to expand, a cascade of images racing through his brain, confusing flashes of places and things, events he could see but not remember. When he looked at the charging wraiths, faces began to appear, filling out the fleshless skulls. Familiar faces, though distorted by the necrotic powers that had resurrected them as grave-cheating ghosts. He could almost put names to some of those faces. If he concentrated, Arnholt thought he might... The Night Incantor strove to retain his focus. The song of a spell quivered upon his lips and unleashed a bolt of lightning through the oncoming wraiths. Seven of the fiends were banished in an instant, while many others were thrown back in tatters, their dark essence only gradually seeping back to reform into grisly apparitions. If there were names that belonged to the faces Arnholt saw, then they had little connection to the phantoms. These were but the distorted, twisted echoes of the people they had been in life. Whoever they had been, it had no bearing upon what they were now. This conviction made it easier for Arnholt to vanquish the wraiths that surged around him, but when a gap in their shadowy ranks afforded him a view of the shrouded king, he found cause for doubt. The master of the undead army had kept clear of the battle, marshalling his spectral forces from the streets beyond the shrine of Nagash. Now, when Arnholt looked at the monster, he saw a pale face clothing the leering skull, an almost transparent skein of skin about the bones. As with the others, it was a face that was familiar to him. Only this face had a name. For the third time, turmoil seared through Arnholt's mind, and shock sizzled through his veins. He knew the Shrouded King, or at least the man he had been in life.
Sabrot,
Arnholt hissed. Then he added a sobriquet to that name, a title that the villain might not have carried in life, but which he had certainly earned in death.
Sabrot, the usurper.
Across the distance, the rider appeared to hear Arnholt. The wraith responded with a bitter peal of laughter, an audible sneer of withering mockery. The shrouded king fixed his malignant gaze on Arnholt.
Sabrot!
Arnholt raged. He could see the Nighthorns surging towards him again, refocused by their master to destroy the Aether Mage. Orthan stumbled back as the tide of chain rasps and glaive wraiths threatened to overwhelm him. A sense of righteous fury blazed through Arnholt's mind. He drew upon that emotion, feeding it into the arcane song that fell from his lips. A tempest of magic swirled through the Geezerborn clouds above Wormdit. At his direction, that energy came pelting down in a cascade of burning rain. Against the Sigmarite armor of the Stormcasts, the searing deluge was harmless. The undead, however, were not invulnerable. Like wax candles melting beneath a flame, the creatures wilted in the rain, clumps of their essence dripping away. Where a seething mass of shadows had filled the cursed ground around the pagoda, soon there was only a stagnant slime of smouldering ectoplasm. One wraith alone had the force of will to defy the storm Arnholt had summoned. Away in the streets, the shrouded king glared at the Aether Mage. The semblance of a face vanished, leaving the creature's leering skull.
Sabrot!
Arnholt cried out again. Before he could muster the energy for another spell, the shrouded king whipped his steed around and galloped off into the deserted town.
Sabrot!
He shouted, and started to run towards the streets. As he charged after the retreating rider, Arnholt found he was not alone. First Orthan, then other Stormcast joined him in pursuing the wraith. When he reached the spot from where Sabrot had watched the battle and directed his forces, Arnholt paused. There was a scum of darkness spattered across the cobblestones, residue from the wraith that had melted off in the deluge. A little further on, he could see more drops of ectoplasm.
"We must hasten, my lord,"
Nerio advised. The Castigator Prime gestured with his great bow towards the hill above the town. Just visible from where they stood was the dark shape of the undead rider.
"He has been hurt by your magic. We can still catch him if we hurry."
Pentheus nodded, taking up his brother's call to action.
"Wormdit will not be safe, and our mission not fulfilled until we have destroyed the Shrouded King."
Arnholt gazed up at the fleeing wraith as its ethereal steed carried it over the top of the hill. He looked back at the spatters of ectoplasm. But more than that, he reflected upon the things he had experienced during the battle. There were questions here. Questions that might prove even more important than pushing back the grasping hand of Nagash and his undead slaves.
"No," Arnholt commanded. "Let him go."
He could see the confusion in their eyes. They did not doubt his abilities, but that did not mean they understood his intentions. Arnholt wanted to keep it that way, at least for now. Instead, he placated his brothers with a half-truth.
"It is vital we end this scourge, not simply for today, but for good. To do so, we need to do more than just destroy the Shrouded King. We must track him back to his lair and purge it of whatever infernal power has concentrated there. We must find the source of this undead plague and ensure it has been disposed of. Only then can we say we have honored our obligations to Sigmar and our Stormhost," Arnholt told them. "Only then can we go home," he added.
But there was a strange light in his eyes when he said it, because somewhere, deep inside him, he could not shake the uncanny sensation that he already was home. Chapter 4. Cold pain crawled through the spectral essence of Sabrot as his steed galloped away from Wormdit. The searing deluge that had been conjured from the misty sky had inflicted a measure of harm upon the wraith. But it was an injury from which the Shrouded King was already recovered, his black powers drawing from the deathly vibrations left by the necroquake Nagash had unleashed upon the realms to replenish his phantasmal shape. No, it was the other wound he had taken that racked Sabrot's being with a numb, gnawing agony. An old wound, festered and rotten, so long a part of him he had deluded himself that it was gone. Sight of the Aether Mage, who led the warriors of Sigmar, ripped open the scab and let the poison of hate swell through his soul. He knew that one. There was no mistaking the flavor of that spirit, the presence that motivated the reforged body. Through 1,000 generations and all the manifold realities of the underworlds, Sabrot would have recognized the being of King Volkard. The fires in the pits of the Wraith's skull flared into a ghastly crimson incandescence. Sabrot no longer saw the mist-veiled hills above Wyrmdit or the plumes of steam streaking up from the fields of geysers. It was a different kind of land through which he now rode, a land richer and more vibrant than that he had claimed as part of his domain. He could see great fields of wheat and corn, vast orchards of peach and almond, hills green with grapevines. There were tall manors with ivy-covered walls and roofs tiled in white slate. The villages of tenant farmers with their huts of wattle and daub, each with its little garden and chicken coop. A bitter hiss rasped across the wraith's teeth. This was the land he'd coveted, the land he'd fought so hard to possess. The memory of it was etched onto his spirit, branded there by the fire of his passion. It was his by right, Khaza and the dragon seat, and all that fell within its dominion. Even as he stretched forth his fleshless claw, Sabrot saw the landscape fade and change, shifting back into mist and wilderness. A mirage of the past, all that remained of the kingdom that should have belonged to him. The shrouded king looked back over his shoulder towards Wyrmdit. He would return. He would bring forth all the ghostly legions at his command, and he would raise the place. Not one brick would be left standing, no two beams of wood left nailed together. Every soul in the place would be wrested from its mortal flesh and drawn into Sabrot's undead army. The Stormcasts... A cruel laugh rose from Sabrot as he considered the Sigmarite-clad knights. He had made a mistake before, allowed his kingly outrage to cloud his judgment. Revenge upon Volkard made him oblivious to the might of his foes. The retinue he brought with him from his graveyard court was unequal to the feat of destroying the Stormcasts. More, much more, was needed to overwhelm them. And he knew just where he would bring such a horde to bear upon Sigmar's knights. Volkard would not be content to remain in Wyrmdit. Sabrot had seen him, so too had he seen Sabrot. Volkard would pursue the wraith now, hunt for the shrouded king across the entire realm if need be. Were their positions reversed, had Volkard done to Sabrot what Sabrot had done to him, there would be nowhere the wraith would not follow. The Aether Mage would lead the rest of the Stormcasts after the shrouded king. Sabrot raked his talons through his spectral essence, willing his recent wounds to reopen. He watched with abominable satisfaction as splashes of black ectoplasm dribbled onto the ground. A trail for his foes to follow. He would make it easy on Volkard. It would be unbrotherly to let him be late for his own funeral.
"There is more of the Wraith's Ichor up here, my lord," Nerio called down to Arnhold.
The Castigator Prime gestured with his great bow at the spectral splotches that marred the ground beside him. Arnhold felt a sense of relief that Nerio had recovered the trail. Twice since leaving Wyrmdit, the Stormcasts had lost the Shrouded King's track. The spectral steed he rode left only infrequent marks behind, a wilted stem where its flanks had brushed across a bush, or a patch of yellowed grass where a hoof had touched the ground. The stains left by the wraith himself were far easier to find, ugly black blemishes that looked like painted shadows and carried with them the rank stench of the grave. Keeping them in sight, the hammers of Sigmar could be certain of following their quarry back to his lair.
"I do not like this," Pentheus confessed, drawing close to Arnhold so that the other Stormcasts would not hear.
They were marching through a system of narrow valleys that wended their way between the hills beyond Wyrmdit. It was terrain to make any soldier uneasy. If an enemy should appear on the hills and spring an ambush, the hammers of Sigmar would be trapped.
You have dispatched scouts to warn us of any lurking foe, Arnholt reminded Pentheus.
He gestured with his staff at the hills around them. Carefully making their way along each flank were a pair of castigators with a sequitur to support them.
In perfect keeping with the doctrines of Lycaon, we use the valley to hide our presence. We keep scouts on our flanks to ensure we have remained hidden.
Pentheus shook his head. It is not a question of procedure, he said. He tapped his hand against his chest plate. This feels wrong. I feel it down inside. He pointed at the black stains left by the shrouded king. This trail strikes me as too deliberate, too easy to follow. I think Neria would agree with me. Even when he loses it for a moment, it is never too hard for him to find again.
The Shrouded King was wounded when I summoned the storm's power, Arnholt declared. Only the most powerful among the undead could recover from that magnitude of divine magic.
Then this one should have already faded away, Pentheus said. We have followed this trail for several miles now, and the wraith still leaves its essence behind, like a slug slime. Surely it has lost enough to lose its ability to manifest and been compelled to fade back into its grave.
Perhaps he can draw upon the energies of the Necroquake, Arnholt suggested. I am more attuned to the etheric vibrations than you, brother, and I can sense the fell energies left by Nagash's ritual. How much more connected to those vibrations would a creature formed from the same energies be? We have already seen that the Shrouded King can call upon the black art of necromancy. Perhaps he can also draw on the Necroquake's vibrations to replenish the ectoplasm he is losing.
Or perhaps the wraith is baiting us, Pentheus warned, his tone severe. Arnholt closed his eyes. The Sequitur Prime had given voice to the worry that nagged at his own mind. Was the Shrouded King leading them all into a trap?
Some bait is worth taking, Arnholt told Pentheus. Employ what precautions you feel are necessary, but we will not abandon this trail. Wherever it leads, the Hammers of Sigmar will follow.
Arnholt said no more. He did not dare to. It was enough that following the Shrouded King would lead them to the Wraith stronghold and allow the Stormcast to complete their mission. To liberate Wyrmdit from its undead oppressor and reclaim the region from Nagash's power. This much was the duty that had been entrusted to the Hammers of Sigmar. There was another reason that drove Arnholt onwards, despite the danger. A possibility that was so profound in its potential that he trembled to consider what it might mean. The process of reforging was flawed. Wresting the spirits of the Valiant from the grasp of death at the very moment of their passing gave Sigmar the power to build an army of eternal heroes. But there was a price to such power, a toll that was paid by each Stormcast when their soul was set upon the anvil of the apotheosis. An insidious sort of degradation set in, stripping away the memories of what had come before. The Stormcast who fell in battle was reborn in Sigmaron, but each time he left something of himself behind. There were some who had undergone the process so often that only their sense of duty and their devotion to Sigmar remained. In rare instances, even this spiritual anchor was lost, and the spirit broke free to become a rampaging lightning geist, a near mindless ghost of awful strength. Reforging wore down the memories of each Stormcast. What they were remained, but who they were was increasingly lost. Arnholt himself had no memory of who he had been before his first reforging. The spells, the esoteric lore, even the history he'd drawn from the libraries of his sacrosanct chamber, these were all at his immediate recall. The life that had come before then, however, was a blur, mere impressions rather than memories. Seldom had he even given the lost past much thought. It was enough that he had his duty and his devotion to Sigmar. At least it had been so until now. Arnholt had felt the Shrouded King's recognition like a sword piercing his breast. Volkhard, the wraith had named him, and he knew the name was his own. Just as he knew the undead fiend was Sabrot, and that the creature was a usurper with no right to the crown he claimed. Arnholt did not know how he knew these things. He only felt them to be true as anything he had ever learned, scraps from a forgotten past rising from some buried part of his being. That they could be conjured forth by Sabrot was a mystery, one that Arnhold was determined to unravel. The Shrouded King had transcended death, just like the Stormcast, but he had not lost his memories. Further, he had somehow been able to provoke them into Arnhold's psyche, stirring them up from whatever secret place they'd been buried during his reforging. Even more than freeing Wormdit and ending the terror of the Nighthaunts, Arnhold had to discover how Sabrot had done this to him. How had the Wraith made him remember he had once been named Volkard? The key to unlock that mystery had implications far beyond simply Arnhold's own lost memories. It could bring about a new age for the Stormhosts and serve to correct the terrible flaw in the reforging process. If Arnhold could discover Sabrot's secret, he and all his fellow Stormcasts need never fear losing their humanity when their spirits were set against the Anvil. They would fully become the heroic warriors Sigmar intended them to be. The spectral trail led across what had been the frontier and deep into the kingdom of Khazar. Great stands of blackened trees, their branches scratching at the sky like the claws of skeletons, had risen to reclaim the pastures and fields of more civilized centuries. Black buzzards cried out as they flew through the grey sky, their eyes roving the earth below for the merest scrap of carrion. Lean jackals crept through thorny brush, their noses sniffing the air for any hint of rotten meat on the wind. Emaciated hogs, their hides hanging loose over their bones, pawed at the desiccated soil, greedily devouring the few grubs and beetles their efforts exposed. Through this wild desolation, the golden armor of the Stormcasts made a stark contrast as they marched onwards. Scouts preceded the main column, while strings of pickets watched the flanks. In the midst of his retinue, Night Encounter Arnhold maintained a stoic silence, marching with the almost mechanistic step that told his companions he had entered a semi-meditative trance. Left to their own company, Pentheus and Nerio took position at the head of the column, where they could monitor both the main body and the scouts ahead of them.
"Another village," Pentheus pointed out, waving his maul towards a stretch of wilderness where the weeds and brambles exhibited a certain uniformity in the way they had grown. "The walls are gone, but you can still see how the plants mark where the buildings stood."
Nerio smiled at the Sequitur Prime's observation.
"Anything that needs to sink its roots deep can't do it where there's a stone foundation to contend with."
He clapped his brother on the back.
"I explained as much to you 3 villages ago. You're so vexed by the possibility of ambush that you're becoming forgetful."
Pentheus uttered an annoyed grunt.
"I still say we're being led by the nose. The Night Encounter suspects as much himself, but he feels it is a risk worth taking."
"Do you question Arnhold's judgment?" Nerio asked, both surprised and offended by Pentheus's words.
"I am not so arrogant that I would be so impertinent," Pentheus replied. "But it may be that Arnhold is, well, to me he seems distracted, and I think that has caused him to lose his sense of perspective."
Nerio gave Pentheus a reproving look.
"You are questioning the Night Encounter's judgment," he accused.
He glanced around, noticing that his raised voice had drawn the attention of the Sequiturs and Castigators following them.
"Arnhold has served the Hammers of Sigmar through many reforgings. He is a veteran campaigner who knows his duty."
Nerio's tone became almost derisive.
"What could possibly distract a warrior of his caliber from fulfilling his mission?"
The severity of Pentheus's eyes when he looked at Nerio made the Castigator Prime stop in his tracks. He did not argue when his brother drew him away from the column and towards the ruined village.
"I do not know what it is that has disturbed Arnhold," Pentheus told Nerio.
"But something happened to change him back in Wormdit. There is a shadow hanging over his mind. He has not spoken of it, but sometimes, for just a moment, you can see it if you are watching him closely enough." Nerio shook his head and pointed back to the column and at Arnhold's trance-like march.
"The Night Encounter meditates to bring his powers to their peak. His mind is on the battle ahead of us."
"That is just the problem," Pentheus interjected.
Arnholt isn't thinking about the battle, not the way he normally would. What is wrong, Pentheus? Nerio's tone was curt. Is he deviating from protocol too much for your hidebound sensibilities? Pentheus let the jab go unanswered. Instead, he simply gestured to the ruins around them.
This is the third village we've seen. The deeper we march into what was Khaza, the more evidence we see of how prosperous this land once was.
He pointed a finger at Nerio's chest.
Consider how populous this land was before chaos despoiled it. Now ask yourself, how many of those people, how many of their spirits, have been drawn into the shrouded king's legions?
Nerio shook his head, rejecting the idea. The shrouded king was not so mighty when we fought him in Wormdit.
But now we will fight it on ground of its choosing, Pentheus pointed out.
He waved his maul at the blackened forests with their skeletal branches.
Remember when we first descended upon Gur, and how Arnholt showed us the lingering taint of chaos? Have you seen any sign of that corruption here? Or is it all suffering from a different blight, a blight from Shaiish and the black power of Nagash?
Nerio was silent as he weighed the questions put to him. He had done a fair amount of scouting after they'd left Wormdit, rotating the duty between all his castigators.
No, he confessed. I have seen no evidence of chaos, only the decay of death. This is the Shrouded King's domain, Pentheus stated. The Wraith has led us here on purpose, because it is here that it thinks it can destroy us. Among the strictures of combat, there is the admonishment to always beware of letting the enemy decide when and where to fight.
If all you say is true, then we have no choice but to fight the Wraith here, Nerio said. Place our trust in Sigmar that our pursuit of the Shrouded King has been swift enough for us to catch him before he is ready. If we do not vanquish him, then we will fail in our duty here.
Pentheus nodded slowly. We will answer the demands of duty, and none shall look upon us and say our honour was in question. But when battle is joined, we must be vigilant. This thing that distracts Arnholt.
You think the knight in Canto would do anything?
No, Pentheus interjected. Arnholt would do nothing to put the rest of us at deliberate risk. But I would not say he would disdain to take such a risk onto himself. If he thought the gain to be had was worth it, he would not spare himself.
There was a grim look in Pentheus's eyes.
That is what we must look for. I worry that Arnholt will underestimate this enemy and take chances with himself that he should forego.
He looked back to the column and stared at the knight in Canto.
I think there is some connection between him and this wraith, and I fear that connection may bring Arnholt's doom.
Into what had been a land of fertility, but it was now a haunted domain of lingering shadows, Sabrot's spectral trail led the hammers of Sigmar. Arnholt could feel the change in the air, could sense the macabre atmosphere into which they marched. Throughout the long chase, the landscape had grown steadily more decadent, the unburied corpse of Khaza left to rot under a grey sky. Now, however, that sense of things dead and forsaken intensified to such a degree that he could feel it down inside his lungs every time he drew a breath. Nor was he the only one to be afflicted by that uncanny impression. The sacrosanct stormcasts were all attuned to the ether to lesser and greater degrees. He could see the most sensitive among the castigators and sequiturs pause from time to time in their steps, hesitating as they tried to shake the ghoulish influence pressing upon them. For Arnholt, it was something more than just sensitivity to the necrotic aura of the Shrouded King's land. From the corners of his eyes, he kept catching fleeting images of the Khaza of old. He saw the peach trees with their furry fruit, watched the wind sigh through a field of golden wheat. A sun-bronzed ploughman working the soil. A big white cow idly chewing her cud. Children playing around the walls of a well, their yellow hair flaring in the breeze. All of these scenes called to him, crying out to some part of his being that was impotent to respond. He felt a sense of regret that he did not recognize these phantasms, for he knew they had once been precious to him. When he turned his head, when he would have focused more directly upon these images, they invariably disappeared, consumed by the grimness of Sabrot's kingdom. Sabrod's kingdom. Merely thinking of it as such made Arnholt's body cold with rage. The Wraith had done this. Whatever destruction the hordes of chaos wrought, it was the blight of necromancy that now assailed these lands. Or perhaps the rot was even older than that. The idea suggested itself to Arnholt and would not go away, nagging at the edges of his anger and trying to fan it into a consuming hate. Khaza had been remade into the decayed semblance of the Shrouded King. Nowhere was this in greater evidence than when the Stormcast ascended the narrow pass and stood upon the barren plateau. The morbid influence became stronger still as Arnholt gazed across the plain. Here, he knew, was the very root of the Nighthorns, the font from which the undead scourge drew its hideous strength. Arnholt knew this because he found that he knew this place, not with an understanding conjured from books and scrolls, but with the wisdom engendered only by experience. He looked across the plain at the surrounding heights of jumbled stone, the deathly bulks of barrow mounds and ancient cairns, but he did not see these things. Instead, he saw a great army assembled. Arnholt could hear the snap of banners flying in the wind, could smell the husky scent of war dogs as they were led from their wheeled kennels. He saw cavalry, a great company of high-born sons astride coal-black destriers, their lamellar armour painted with glyphs of their household gods. The mounted knights were arrayed on the flanks, screened by a phalanx of common pikemen, freeholders drawn from across the kingdom, each responsible for his own weapons and armour. Beside the pikemen were row upon row of archers, professional soldiers maintained by the nobles and the great temples, each company bearing the colours of their sponsor. At the centre, terrible in their blackened mail, were the royal guards of the priest king himself, warriors chosen from across the domain and from every caste, selected not for the blood of their breeding, but for the blood they were prepared to shed in battle. Among them, fighting afoot, as was the royal custom, would be the priest king himself. Arnholt shook himself, shuddering, as if he felt a part of himself being drawn into the mirage. Quickly, he looked around, fighting to orientate himself in the present. The battlefield of yesterday was washed away, receding into the corridors of his memory.
"What is it, my lord?"
Pentheus asked. There was not only concern in his tone, but also a touch of uneasiness.
"This is the place," Arnholt declared. "This is where the Necroquake cast its most malignant energies. The Shrouded King will fly from us no longer. Here is where he will fight." "It is a trap," Pentheus said, looking across the ancient graves.
"Yes," Arnholt agreed.
"Our advantage is that the Shrouded King does not expect us to know it is a trap. Bold is the dragon who enters the snare, knowingly, and fierce is his wrath when the hunter comes to claim him."
Pentheus smiled as he lifted the Sigmarite mask to his helm and fastened it tight.
"What are your orders, my lord?"
Arnholt gazed across his retinue. At Nerio and his castigators with their thunderhead greatbows, at the sequiturs with their stormstrike mauls and soul shields. He looked again at the echoes of the past, at the army of Khaza arrayed for its final battle. He could see now the priest king, adorned in the jeweled armour of his estate, the clawed crown of his kingdom circling his helm. He felt those royal eyes upon him, and he knew the monarch's name was Volkard.
"We advance," Arnholt said.
He pointed his staff at a small patch of green amidst the morbid waste.
"That will be our rallying point."
Pentheus nodded and motioned Nerio to join them.
"It is too much to think we will get that far without being challenged."
He glanced at the rocky slopes that descended from the sides of the plateau, and to the rocky slopes that bordered its further edge.
"The Nighthorns are spectres without substance. Difficult ground will be no impediment to them."
He gave Arnholt a severe look.
"When they come at us, they will come from every side."
"We march in turtle formation?" Nerio asked. "My castigators at the centre, with your sequiturs locking shields."
"No," Arnholt told them. "Not a turtle. A dragon."
He pointed to Pentheus.
"Divide your warriors into four groups, fore and aft,
left and right. At your command, any one section drops down and allows the dragon to expel its flames.
He turned to Nerio.
Your warriors will provide those flames. Each of your maces can break the arcane cord that maintains the undead. As we advance, the castigators will maintain a steady barrage. The sequiturs will hold the enemy back with shield and maul. You will finish them with your volleys.
As you command, Nerio replied, excitement in his tone.
The plan is a sound one, Pentheus said. A similar tactic was employed by Lord Celestant Kadir Ling at the Battle of the Cursed Fountain, and he was able to successfully fend off 3,000 beastkin with less than 100 warriors.
He shook his head.
Of course, our foes are more formidable than beastkin, and
there is the fact we will be advancing while we are in formation instead of just holding our ground, Nerio added. He saw the surprise in Pentheus's eyes. I am familiar with procedure. It is just I seldom find it applicable.
Arnholt gestured with his staff at the plateau.
Your castigators must move and fire, he told Nerio.
How quickly they do so will set the pace of our advance.
Nerio saluted the knight in Cantor.
We will not fail you, my lord.
Arnholt nodded and dismissed his brothers. They had their warriors to make ready, and he had his mind to prepare. The battlefield was of Sabrod's choosing, a place steeped in the blood and death of Khazad's last stand against chaos. The Shrouded King had chosen this site because it was here that his dominion was strongest. His eyes drawn again to that small spot of green, Arnholt considered that it was also here that Sabrod's dominion was not complete. A chill wind whipped across the plateau as the stormcast began their advance. Nerio could feel the clammy clutch of the grave pawing at him, reaching down inside him with cold fingers that scratched across his very soul. He closed his hand tighter about the hammer talisman he wore and whispered prayers until the profaning energies abated. Around him, he could hear other stormcasts following his example. Many of his castigators, and even a few of the sequiturs, were trying to drive away the defiling emanations. The hammers of Sigmar maintained a loose formation. Pentheus would give the command to close ranks and become the dragon of Arnholt's plan. The intention was to lull the Shrouded King into complacency, to make the Wraith believe that they were haplessly following him into his trap. To alert their foe early would be to fight for every inch of ground. This way, they would be able to gain some distance unchallenged. Nerio wondered about the point Arnholt had chosen as their objective. He was no ether mage, but even he could sense the strangeness of the spot. A lone patch of life amidst the Shrouded King's stronghold. Whatever secret was bound into the plot's defiance of the Wraith's death magic, it was clear Arnholt thought the Stormcast would make use of it against the Nighthaunts.
Steady!
Nerio cautioned his castigators as they moved across the desolate plain. Each step they took brought a magnification of the sense of menace he felt pressing down on him. He could feel 1,000 baleful eyes watching him, despising every breath he drew into his body, envious of each pulse that sent blood coursing through his veins. It was something he had felt before when the hammers of Sigmar were called upon to oppose the undying legions of Nagash. That strange and hideous hate of the dead towards the living, a remorseless need to destroy what they could no longer possess. Nerio and the castigators gradually moved further onto the ancient battlefield. All around them, in a loose posture that was deceptively relaxed, Pentheus and his sequiturs marched with shields on their backs and mauls at their sides. Arnholt kept pace with the sequiturs, his robes fluttering about him in the clammy breeze. The change came with such abruptness that Nerio had to blink to be certain that what he saw was not merely a trick of the light. A dark smudge upon the ground, a stain that gradually elongated, slowly expanding before them. From a mere mark on the barren earth, it grew into a wispy shape, definite in form but as intangible as a shadow. What it resembled was a jumble of bones and bits of rusted armour, a decayed sword and a grinning skull. From the skeletal heap, a sense of mystery and loss struck Nerio, such that he was forced to stop to shake the impression from his mind. As he cleared the cobwebs inside his skull, Nerio saw that the phantom remains that had captured his attention were not the only ones upon the plain. Everywhere there were other shadows seeping up from the earth and taking shape. The ground was becoming black with the skeletal images, the carrion of a great battle boiling up from their forgotten graves.
"Sacrosancts!" Pentheus called out. "Close ranks!"
At the Sequitur Prime's command, his warriors pulled the shields from their backs and unlimbered the mauls hanging from their belts. Nerio's castigators formed a compact square, while the Sequiturs converged on their position, ringing them with a wall of soul shields. Orthan prowled the inner edges of the square with his great mace, smashing the phantom corpses before they could get underfoot.
"They will attack soon," Nerio advised his archers. "Be ready to loose the instant I give the order."
Around him, the castigators raised their thunderhead greatbows and fitted the crystal-headed maces into their carriages. What had been simply jumbles of bone a moment before now began to stir. Like fungi, each shadow rapidly shot upwards, taking on the grisly vestige of a fleshless skeleton wrapped in its own shroud. Great lengths of chain bound some of the apparitions, while the bony talons of others clenched phantasmal scythes and mouldy swords. From every eye socket, a green glow shone, a spectral malevolence that glared hungrily at the stormcasts.
"What are they waiting for?"
one of the castigators cried out, as their formation marched past the unmoving masses of nighthorns. It was a question for which Nerio had no answer. Each step, each yard, brought more of the spectres boiling up from the ground. Now he could see the malformed muzzles of gauze and skaven protruding from some of the shadowy figures. The Shrouded King was calling up not only the vanquished of Khazar, but also the restless spirits of the Chaos Horde that had conquered their land.
"Sabrot is here."
Arnold did not say the words in a loud voice, but they cracked across the tense silence like a peal of thunder just the same. Ahead of Nerio, the Night Incantor stared at the great cairn that dominated the macabre sight. There was a patch of darkness between the stormcasts and the tomb, a darkness that became steadily more substantial until it had assumed the same grisly likeness they had observed in Wormdit. A skeletal rider wearing a crown and bearing a sword, his steed draped in black. The Shrouded King raised his sword overhead. He swung it through the air three times. Then, from his fleshless jaws, a single word issued.
"Arise!"
And at the Wraith's command, the jumbled bones swelled into spectral warriors with even greater rapidity, while more dark stains seeped up from the ground.
"Arise!"
the monster repeated, and again the ranks of its army grew.
"The judgment of Sigmar be upon you!"
Arnhult shouted. He raised his staff aloft, its tip far above the heads of the other sacrosancts. From above, a crackle of lightning swept down from the sky. The bolt flashed into the Aether Mage's staff, and then burst forth in a rolling wave of sparks and flashes. The arcane energy flew towards Sabrot, immolating those spectres caught in its path, reducing them to puffs of ash and cinder. The Shrouded King himself was caught in the blast, the magic crackling through his essence. The Wraith sank to the ground as the steed beneath him evaporated. Protected from Arnhold's spell by his own black magic, Sabrot pointed his sword at the Night Incantor.
"There!" he snarled. "There stands Volkard, the faithless king who led you to defeat! There stands Volkard, the foolish king who thought to defy your conquest!"
At the Shrouded King's shriek, the gathering spectres raised their own howls of rage and despair. A black wave of hate, the Nighthorns came sweeping towards the stormcasts from every side.
"Stand fast!"
Pentheus shouted as he locked shields with his troops. The Sequitur's soul shields formed a wall against which the oncoming wraiths crashed. The undead were stunned by the divine energy that emanated from the shields, fed into them by the esoteric discipline of Pentheus and his warriors. Scorched and singed, the creatures drew back. As they did, the glow from the shields passed over into the spiked mauls the stormcasts bore. Before the wraiths could recover, the Sequiturs lashed out, striking them with their enchanted weapons. Dozens of the specters burst apart under the assault, their essence unable to endure the holy aura that infused the maws.
"Falcon!"
Nerio shouted, and at his call, the castigators swung around to the right and raised their great bows. At the same instant, the sequiturs there dropped to one knee, leaving a gap through which the archers could shoot. Loosing the crystal-headed maces, the castigators sent an explosive barrage into the horde of wraiths. As each mace struck, whether connecting with the phantasmal essence of a night haunt or smacking against the unclean ground, it exploded in a blast of draconic flame. The unleashed breath of Stardrakes consumed the wraiths, extinguishing their deathly energies in an instant, leaving behind only splotches of rancid ectoplasm.
"Eagle!"
Nerio cried out, and this time it was the sequiturs at the head of the formation who dropped down and made way for the missiles the castigators sent into the undead horde. Again the wraiths were consumed by the exploding maces. Scores fell in the blink of an eye. Yet still more of them came, surging upwards from the barren earth, determined to claim the lives of the warriors who dared trespass in their domain.
"Our advance is too slow," Pentheus cried out. "They are too many to keep back."
A second wave of wraiths came sweeping in, crashing against the soul shields. This time, mixed amongst the chain rasps, were some of the skaven-skulled apparitions. Bearing their chisel-like fangs in grotesque snarls, they brought long glaives to bear, stabbing past the guarding shields to pierce the warriors behind them. Three sequiturs collapsed, spilling into the mass of cast